البيان راديو presents an explanation of كتاب التوحيد from صحيح البخاري presented by شيخ محمد دعار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد. My dearly respected brothers and sisters, once again, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ, we continue with our explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed from Sahih al-Bukhari, or what is its more correct name, Al-Jami' al-Sahih. Imam al-Bukhari, he named his book Al-Jami' al-Sahih, even though it became famously known as Sahih al-Bukhari. But the true name of the book is Al-Jami' al-Sahih. That's what its author, rahimahullah, named it. And we are still discussing the hadith of the Isra and the Mi'raj. And we're towards the end of it. And we mentioned that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has put the hadith of Isra and the Mi'raj in this chapter because the chapter is regarding Allah's speech. Imam al-Bukhari has brought a number of ahadith to prove that Allah Azza wa Jal speaks with a voice that is heard. And the hadith of the Isra and the Mi'raj proves that, because Allah spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Isra and the Mi'raj. And that's why he put the hadith in this chapter. And we reached the part of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the prayers from Allah Azza wa Jal, and we mentioned that how many prayers did Allah obligate on the Ummah? 50. And after Allah Azza wa Jal obligated 50 prayers in the day and night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back down, and when he met Musa alayhi salam, Musa asked, "What has Allah obligated on you and your followers?" And he told him 50 prayers in the day and night. And then Musa alayhi salam, being a sincere advisor, he said, "Go back to Allah, for your ummah cannot handle that." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go back up to Allah azza wa jal, and Allah would reduce the prayers. The hadith says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last time he went back up to Allah azza wa jal, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "My Rabb, indeed my followers are weak in their bodies, their hearts, and their hearing. My ummah is a weak ummah, so lighten our burden," regarding the obligation of the salah. On that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Labbayka wa sa'dayk." And this is the dalil Imam al-Bukhari has used here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have replied, "Labbayka wa sa'dayk," unless he heard Allah call him, "O Muhammad." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Allah, "Labbayka wa sa'dayk." This is from the clearest proofs that Allah Azza wa Jal, from His attributes, is speech, and He speaks with a voice that is heard by whoever He chooses from His creation. Allah Azza wa Jal said to him, "The word that comes from me does not change." Allah says, "The word that comes from me does not change." Meaning, if I said 50 prayers, it's 50. But look at Allah's rahmah. He said, "The word that comes from me does not change, so it will be as I had enjoined it in the mother of the book, Ummul Kitab." Ummul Kitab is the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet in the heavens, which Allah Azza wa Jal wrote everything that decrees. So in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, Allah had written that this ummah will pray 50 prayers. And Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ that what I command, what I say does not change. And it's going to be as I had written it in the book. Allah then added, every good deed will be rewarded as 10 times. So it is 50 salah in the mother of the book, in Ummul Kitab, in reward. But you are to pray only 5. SubhanAllah, look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal on this ummah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reduced the number, but He didn't reduce the ajr. Because what He decrees and what He commands does not change. But what a great Lord that deserves to be worshipped, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this part of the hadith is clear, that Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without an intermediary. That's a conversation between him and Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam was not carrying the words and passing them to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here. No, it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking directly to his Lord. Allah called him, Ya Muhammad, and he replied, Labbaik wa sa'daik. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari used this hadith here. And the Lawh al-Mahfuz, or the mother of the book, Ummul Kitab, is the Lawh al-Mahfuz, which Allah wrote in it everything to happen. And Allah gave this ummah for every hasana 10 hasanat. And that is a reward that Allah bestows upon this nation. And even with this, Musa alayhi salam continued to advise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go back. Even when it became 5. Because Musa experienced Bani Israel. But that shows this ummah is greater than Bani Israel. This ummah is no doubt the best of nations. But Musa, that shows his love and concern for us as well. He didn't want us to struggle or to find it too hard. So he advised the Prophet ﷺ, go back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's where the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Musa, Wallahi, I'm too shy to keep going back up to Allah. That's it, I've gone back too many times. Then Jibreel, when the Prophet ﷺ said that, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, Khalas, descend in the name of Allah. Go back down in the name of Allah. Then at the end of the hadith it says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then woke up while he was in Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. So Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, descend in the name of Allah. And the ulama use that as another proof to show Allah's highness. Because you don't descend except from somewhere high. And that shows that Allah is high above His creation. In another narration of this hadith, because this narration left out a part of the hadith which is found in other narrations, and that's where the Prophet ﷺ, he saw Bayt al-Ma'mur. The Bayt al-Ma'mur is the Kaaba in the heavens. The Kaaba in the heavens. And he saw the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam leaning his back on it. The Prophet Ibrahim had his back leaned on Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned about the Bayt al-Ma'mur that daily 70,000 angels enter it and they never go back to it. So that shows every single day since the creation until the Day of Judgment, there's a new 70,000 angels entering Bayt al-Ma'mur and they never go back to it. So how many malaika are there? If every day there's 70,000 entering and they never go back. And when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that, he then recited the verse, وَلَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. No one knows the soldiers of Allah except Allah, meaning the malaika here. No one knows their amount. And in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the heavens have squeaked. You know, like now we've got the sister section under If you remember before the renovations, if you were down the bottom and the masjid here was full, mashallah, I think the sisters used to get very worried that the roof was going to collapse on them. The ground would squeak. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the heavens have squeaked and they have a right to squeak. He said, there is not an empty handspan except there is an angel prostrating, bowing, or worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. The heavens, as vast as they are, and there's not an empty handspan. But only Allah knows His malaika and how many of them there are. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Isra and the Mi'raj, he woke up in Mecca. But we mentioned, my brothers and sisters, that the Isra and the Mi'raj was not a dream. Please remember this. Our aqidah is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in the Isra and the Mi'raj, body and soul. But what does this part of the hadith mean? Very simple. The Isra and the Mi'raj did not take all night. He came back, there was still a portion of the night. When he came back down, he was tired. Then he went back to sleep and then he woke up in the haram. So this is how we understand this hadith. And Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he said, it's from a sleep which he had after the Isra, because the Isra was not the entire night. The Isra, as the ulama done tafsir, it was roughly 12 hours. Roughly, the whole event of the Isra and the Mi'raj took him 12 hours, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next chapter is the talk of Allah Azza wa Jal to the people of Jannah. Look at Imam al-Bukhari's chapters, still speaking about the speech of Allah. And if you realize, the last few chapters that we've covered in this book has all been about Allah's speech. The question is, why would Imam al-Bukhari in Sahih al-Bukhari be emphasizing on this point so much, that Allah speaks with a voice that is heard? Who can tell us why? Why this topic in particular, Ahmad? Excellent. That's one point, but it's not the main point. Excellent. Elaborate. The deviant sex at his time. Good. Good. Ash'ari came later. But their origin, the Mu'tazila, the ones who said Allah does not speak. And they said that the Quran is created. The speech of Allah is created. So this shows you the aqidah of Imam al-Bukhari. And the whole fitna of the Qur'an being created was in their time. Him and Imam Ahmad, they lived in similar time. So Imam al-Bukhari, it's wadih that he is on the aqidah of the Salaf, the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And that's why he's emphasizing on these points. So his next chapter, he titled it, Babu Kalam al-Rabbi Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Ma'a Ahli al-Jannah. Chapter, Allah's speech to the people of Jannah. Allah speaks to the people of Paradise. And Imam al-Bukhari intended, again with this, the proof that Allah speaks whenever He chooses. And that His speech is connected to His will, His mashia. He does it when He wills. The hadith here that he mentions is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Okay, Allah talks to the people of Jannah. There's many dalil. From them is this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal will say to the people of Jannah, Ya ahl al-Jannah. Allah calls the people of Jannah. There you go, kli dalil. He's calling the people of Paradise. So they will say, Labbayka wa sa'dayk. The same answer that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave when Allah called him in the Isra and the Mi'raj. So they reply, Labbayka wa sa'dayk, and they add to it, Wal khayru bayna yadayk, and the good, all good is in your hands. So Allah asks them a question. What does Allah ask him? Imagine this, the people of Jannah, they're indulging in Jannah. He asks them, are you happy? Are you satisfied? So they reply, how can we not be satisfied? Ya Rabb, when you have given us what you have not given to anyone from your creation. This is Jannah. How can we not be satisfied? So then Allah Azza wa Jal says, should I give you something even better than that? But again, the people get stunned and they say, Ya Rabb, what could be better than this, what we're in right now? So Allah Azza wa Jal will say to them, I bestow my rida, my pleasure on you, and I will never be angry with you after this day. And that is greater than Jannah, as the hadith shows. So the apparent meaning of the hadith is that Allah's speech here is to all of the people of Jannah. He's addressing everyone in Jannah. And it is after they have settled inside it. When he calls them, they say, Labbayka wa sa'dayk, and the good, the khair is in your hands. And that's proof that the creation, us, we do not hold benefit or harm for ourselves or for anyone else. And all the khair is in Allah's hands alone. And that's tawheed. This is from your belief in tawheed. That the good is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah asks them, are you satisfied? And Allah Azza wa Jal is not asking to learn. Hasha lillah, Allah does not learn anything new. Allah knows they're satisfied. Allah knows that they're happy. And nothing is hidden from Allah, from what is in their hearts. But he wants them to acknowledge his blessings upon them. And every blessing is from Allah's fadl and not from the creation deserving it. Always remember that, Shabab. Whatever Allah bestows on you from ni'mah is not because you deserve it. It's from Allah's fadl on you. And the greatest dalil for that is Jannah itself. No one enters Jannah because they deserve it. You only enter Jannah because of Allah's rahmah on you. And when the Prophet ﷺ said that, when he said, none of you enter paradise through his a'mal, they said, not even you, Ya Rasulullah. He said, not even me, unless Allah covers me with his rahmah, his mercy. So whatever good is from Allah's fadl, it's not because we have deserved it through our hard work. Yes, your hard work earns you Allah's mercy. But the reality is, no one can worship Allah Azza wa Jal the way he truly deserves to be worshipped and praised. Allah is too great. But we do what we have to do to earn his rahmah. So they reply to Allah, why should we not be satisfied? Our Lord, as you have given us what you have not given to any of your created beings. And subhanAllah, they have no right except to say this because of the blessings that they are in. And giving them above what they can imagine. So they obviously had no choice except to be pleased with Jannah. And then Allah Azza wa Jal saying to them, should I give you something better? And they replied, what is better? Because they could not even comprehend anything being better than what they're in. That's how great Jannah is. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says to them, I bestow my pleasure on you, and I will never be angry with you after that. And that is what is better than Jannah. Earning Allah's pleasure, for Allah to be pleased with you as a abd, is greater than Jannah itself. That's what this hadith clearly teaches us. And there's even a verse in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal talks about paradise, Then after he talks about Jannah, he says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. And the pleasure from Allah is even greater. So you as a Muslim, your aim in life is to earn the rida of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's very important that you learn how to earn Allah's rida so that you can attain it. And you stay away from anything that takes away Allah's pleasure from you. And these are fundamental principles in our religion. Your entire aim in life is to please Allah as a mu'min. And the pleasure of Allah comes before the pleasure of everything and everyone else. That's how you have to live your life. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever pleases Allah at the displeasure of the people. Look, whoever pleases Allah, but for pleasing Allah, he's displeased the people. What happens? He said Allah will be pleased with him, and he will make the creation pleased with him. And whoever pleases the people by displeasing Allah, Allah will be angry with him, and he will make the creation angry with him. You will never succeed in life if you live your life pleasing people at the expense of displeasing Allah. Never. And this has been witnessed through trial with people. How many people would make Allah angry just so that they can make the creation happy? And when they live like that, what ends up happening? Allah disgraces them even with the people. Even with the people. Because that's it. They've earned Allah's ghadab, Allah's anger. But when you live your life as someone who you have that mind frame, that even if the entire creation was upset with me, as long as Allah is pleased with me, that's all that matters. Allah will be pleased with you, and He will even make the creation pleased with you. They will get honor and whatever else. But the one that sells his deen for the sake of the people end up spitting on him. It's the honest truth. And that's why we never, ever put ourselves in a situation where we please the creation by displeasing Allah. And this is general shabab for anyone. Pleasing any type of creation, no matter who it is, whether it's my mother, my father, my uncles, my wife, my husband, whatever it is, there's no obedience to the creation in disobeying the Creator. But we must live our life like that. And there are many times in your life where Allah put that test on you. Every single individual will be put in a situation sometime in their life where they have to make that choice. Am I going to please the people or do I please Allah? And that's the test. And the stronger your iman, the easier the decision will be. Even if the people get upset and angry, what does it matter if your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you? If harm and benefit is in His hands, then we should only aim at pleasing Him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the entire creation gathered to benefit you, they cannot benefit you except what Allah has written. And if they all gathered to harm you, they cannot harm you except in what Allah has written. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal's pleasure is the most important thing in our life. Insha'Allah, next week, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we will continue and we will take the next hadith in this chapter. والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.